Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Jim Dobson, and this is Family Talk. I am really anxious to hear from three highly respected friends and guests that our listeners are going to want to hear from today and probably tomorrow. Those who have been following this program for the last few weeks are aware that we are speaking for this ministry and many others, deeply concerned about the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling, which is apparently going to be announced in June. And it's going to deal, if we understand it correctly, it's going to deal with the very definition of marriage. For more than 5,000 years, going back to whenever Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and yes, I do believe that, marriage has been defined as being between one man and one woman. That came from the Creator himself when he said, as we read in Genesis 2:24, "For this cause a man shall leave his mother and father and shall cleave to his wife," yes, wife, "and the two shall be one flesh." That was the beginning of the family, and it has characterized that basic institution ever since in every continent on earth. As we speak, and this is kind of shocking. I haven't heard this from any place else, but I just looked it up. As we speak, there are only 18 countries in the world that have recognized same-sex marriage. 18 out of 195, something like that. It would appear, although we don't know for sure, but it would appear that the United States Supreme Court, and if they have their way, some of the members, America may become the 19th. And that's disturbing to me. Now, never mind the fact that 31 states have held statewide elections to define marriage, to determine what it is. And all 31 have defined marriage as being between one man and one woman. As far as, you know, what the American people believe, that's as close as we get to it because those elections have occurred. And the definition of marriage has gone into the state constitutions that way. You know about California that passed Proposition 8 that would have defined marriage the same way as being between one man and one woman. And, of course, the court overturned it, and that's where we are today. The courts have steadily been ruling that traditional marriage is unconstitutional and discriminatory, and those decisions have found their way now into the Supreme Court. Almost all of the court watchers today are predicting that the highest court in the land is about to redefine marriage and that it will include same-sex marriage. We don't know that for sure. It's going to be very close, but it may be a 5-4 decision in that direction if the court watchers are correct. Now, as I've been saying in recent weeks, that revolutionary ruling, if it occurs, will change everything in the culture. It doesn't end there. It will affect every dimension of culture. Countless lawsuits will come from that decision if it occurs. And the lower jurisdictions will have a run at all kinds of things that will involve churches and schools and businesses and the military and families, of course. And all of this will happen in rapid succession, and who knows where it will end. That is why Family Talk has devoted three programs to this issue a couple of weeks ago, and we're here to talk about it again. And I've written my monthly letter on this issue that'll go to 350,000 people, and I did an interview just recently with Fox News Radio on it, and that ought to tell you a little bit about how I feel about this issue because we have never devoted 8 programs to a single topic in a short time frame in all the years I've been on the air, which is, I think, 37 by this point. So that's why we're here, and I have invited these 3 friends, people that I already told you I respect so highly, and people who know a lot about this subject. And so you're going to hear more from them than you are from me in the next few minutes. First, I want to introduce Brian Brown. He's been president of the National Organization for Marriage, NOM, it's called, since 2011. And that is, of course, the largest organization dedicated solely to the protection of marriage and the faith communities that sustain it. By the way, he has a BA and an MA in modern history from Oxford University. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
Dr. Dobson, it's a pleasure to be here.
Okay. I'm anxious to hear from you. Also with us today is Dr. Jim Garlow, one of my closest friends. He's the pastor of Skyline Wesleyan Church, and that started in 1995. He has a PhD in historical theology from Drew University. He has a master's in theology from Princeton Theological Seminary, and he knows what he's talking about. He's written many books that our listeners will be familiar with. Dr. Jim, thank you for coming, flying in this morning. In fact, Brian, you just flew in too, didn't you?
We did. Honor to be with you, my friend.
I do appreciate that. And you guys have some strong feelings about what we're going to talk about today, don't you?
Sure do.
That's right.
Okay. Also with us is another highly respected guest. She is Maggie Gallagher. If you all have followed this issue for years, know that Maggie Gallagher was the co-founder of the National Organization for Marriage. So she's been fighting for the things that we believe for a long, long time. And she is not here in the studio. She is with us by phone, I think. Maggie, are you there?
I am here, Dr. Dobson. It's such a great pleasure and honor. And what a great team you've assembled here to talk about this.
Well, we've worked together before, and I am really anxious to hear from you because I want to know really your take on what's happening at the Supreme Court. Okay, Brian, I'm going to start with you. You were sitting with Jim in my office a few minutes ago, and you talked about the fact that our federal judiciary in the United States is totally out of control. Do you feel that way, and explain it?
Well, if you look at what the courts have done, all of us in this room, Maggie, all of us can see that there's nothing in the United States Constitution that says anything about the redefinition of marriage. It's obvious. But if you look at most of the decisions, and again, we've had some good decisions in the Sixth Circuit, but the reasoning behind those decisions is essentially that in 1868, when the 14th Amendment was passed, that unbeknownst to everyone at the time, the 14th Amendment created same-sex marriage, but it's just taken up until now, until these our robed masters have found this quote-unquote right within our Constitution. Now, if anyone would come to you in a beginning legal theory class and make this claim, you would say, of course the 14th Amendment did not create same-sex marriage. Of course there's nothing in our Constitution that states that there's something somehow bigoted or based on animus about the truth that men and women are different. Husbands and wives are different and complementary. There's nothing in the Constitution about that. That is obvious. And yet we're at a point in history where ideology trumps all. And the notion that judges should be bound at all by what the Constitution or what precedent says. By the way, in this instance, the precedent is Baker v. Nelson. The Supreme Court dismissed a case that attempted to move forward same-sex marriage and said, we're dismissing it because there's no federal question yet there. That's the precedent.
When was that?
That was back in 1971. Yeah. So that's the precedent, and yet you have all of these courts. Now, again, we did get a good decision, and that's why this is going to the Supreme court in, out of the Sixth Circuit. Therefore, you got a circuit split. And in that decision, what should have been said all along was said by the judge. Basically, we are not the nation's philosopher kings. Even if I support same-sex marriage, I don't have the right to trump the rule of the people and to read into the Constitution something that is not there. And so for us that know this truth, now is the time to testify to it. I think back, we just went through Easter and we have Christ before Pontius Pilate talking about how he has to testify to the truth. So there are a lot of different ideas on what we might do, what the best strategy might be. But in the end, one of the things we've suffered on our side is not enough people being willing to stand up and testify to the truth, even if they're going to be called a few names, even if they're going to get the wrath of the other side. And that's why our focus is not to say somehow the court's decision is a fait accompli, that no matter what we do, it's going to be a 5-4 decision. Remember, the court observers have been wrong time and time again. It's very hard to predict what the Supreme Court will do. And therefore, it's up to us as a nation to come together and highlight to the court that we are not going to accept an illegitimate decision. We're not going to accept a Dred Scott-like decision, a Roe v. Wade-like decision, and that we are going to unite together to proclaim the truth, to talk about the consequences of same-sex marriage. And that's why on April 25th, we are going to have a March for Marriage, and we're going to have a very diverse group there.
Can you imagine our founding fathers sitting down and addressing this issue and demanding that same-sex marriage be part of the Constitution?
Of course not. I mean, this is so far away from even originalism, debates about originalism or what's in the text, textualism. Yeah. There is absolutely no one who can look back at the text, at the debates, and say
fact,
that somehow
they,
it's
they
there.
They didn't even mention marriage in the Constitution. No. It's not in there at all. That's part of the problem. Jim, talk about the church. I think Brian was alluding earlier to the fact that the church has been, if not silent, has been unwilling to deal with this, except the mainline churches, which have decided that it's a pretty good idea.
We have a challenge for pastors to stand up and be counted on this. Now, there are many. The good news, there are many. The bad news, there's not enough. Not nearly enough. And while whereas he covered the legal, if I could move us to a distinctly theological component, and by that I mean the biblical scriptures are very clear when it opens and it defines marriage. And without, I don't want to take us into the weeds on this one, but the Hebrew word for male is ish. The Hebrew word for female is ishah. When those two come together, there's one letter in the Hebrew that's in ish that's not in ishah. There's one vice versa. And you take those two letters, and what are those? The Yod Heh in Hebrew, which means God, the symbol for God. It's when man and woman come together that the image of God is established on the planet Earth. Mm-hmm. You take that apart, and the image of God on the planet has been destroyed. If I were the evil one, if I were Satan, I would set out to destroy marriage, because the complementary halves of humanity have not come together. The whole creational component of God has not been passed on, the procreational. And so I would destroy, help destroy the image of God on the planet. If people understand the theological, biblical components of this, anybody who's a follower of Christ would be propelled to take action, would be propelled to speak out, regardless of the cost, just like Brian talked a moment ago, because what we're seeing happen to businesses today will happen to churches tomorrow. There are going to be churches that are going to start losing their buildings, or they'll either keep their buildings and agree that they're going to perform same-sex marriages. That's what's potentially ahead for us. And we could head that off if there were a significant number of pastors, 325,000 churches in America, about 100,000 of those who call themselves somewhat biblical or Christian. And if we had a tithe of those, or let's say 40%, 40,000 of those that would stand for Christ, I think it would be enough to shift this in the arena of public opinion and see this one.
Jim, I heard somebody say the other day that if this decision comes down in the wrong way from our point of view, that it will be tantamount to Roe v. Wade in 1973 and its power to divide the people of this country. Do you agree with that?
Yes, but this one goes further. Roe v. Wade was not coerced upon churches per se. Now, it's a horrible, horrible thing. We know that. But this one will be coerced upon every pastor and every church. We already see the evidence for that. The case in Idaho where a couple had a wedding chapel and would not perform same-sex marriages, so the government came after them. The Houston Five were five pastors who stood against the mayor, the lesbian mayor of Houston, who said no. Crossover for bathrooms, men using women's rooms, is not acceptable. 82% of Houstonians agreed with those pastors, but the mayor went after them and demanded by subpoenaing all their records, 17 forms of communication, text, emails, Facebook,
sermons,
and then they later changed it to talks, demanded anything they'd done in opposition to that mayor's forcing upon the city
now,
of Houston.
There you had an example of people rising up and saying that's a bridge too far.
Yes, but it's still a battle that's not yet fully won at this point. There, a lot more has got to happen there to win that one. Or when I mentioned Ocean Grove, New Jersey, this is a beautiful holiness camp meeting established by a group of independent Methodists. But two lesbians came and demanded to have a ceremony there. This is a gorgeous place. I've spoken there. I've been there a number of times. And when they didn't, then the state of New Jersey stepped in and brought a lawsuit on them. And we know of all kinds of cases like this. But those are just evidences of what's going to come at the church in general if we as pastors do not speak, stand up and speak and activate our congregations.
And you better decide now what you will do if you're forced into that corner. Maggie, it's going to be real easy to ignore you because you're on the phone. Step in here. You've heard what's been said. Weigh in on it.
Well, the heart of what's happening is an attempt to impose a new morality on all of America. The heart of the idea behind gay marriage is not live and let live tolerance. That would be one thing we might agree or disagree. But after redefining marriage, the next thing on the agenda is simply to redefine Christianity and other traditional religious believers as the legal and moral equivalent of racism in the public square. So what gay marriage is about, one of the things it's about, is establishing that there is no morally relevant difference between two men and a husband and wife. And if you see a difference, there's something wrong with you. You're like a bigot who opposed interracial marriage. And I think the people who stood down and had the sense that, well, okay, I don't agree, but we're just going to let the nice gay couple get married. I don't agree with it, but not so bad. I think they're waking up to a rude shock now, especially with what happened in Indiana early in the first week of April is a sign of the times that religious liberty itself was treated as anti-gay. Major corporations weighed in to punish the good people of Indiana for passing religious liberty protections. And we're going to see a lot of people stand down, collapse, back down, and agree to affirm gay unions as marriages. And Christianity in this country is going to enter a new phase where we are a hated minority group. And I think we better be psychologically and spiritually prepared for that and be prepared to rebuild from the ruins of the collapse of civilization that we're witnessing. At least one civilization is over with. And what the next phase of American civilization will be is yet to be determined. I like comparing this to Roe v. Wade. I understand what you're saying, Jim. The left wants this to be Brown versus the Board of Education in their minds. Yeah. I know Dr. Martin Luther King will be turning in his grave to hear this, but I think it's going to be the Roe v. Wade in the sense of instead of ending the debate, you know, they tried to redefine what a human life is. It's going to launch a serious and sustained resistance by traditional believers and especially by Christians in this country.
Jim, what if a court in your area, the jurisdiction that includes your church, tells you that you must perform same-sex marriage as a pastor?
Well, offense and defense, first of all, we're not giving up on this, and we under no conditions will capitulate, period. Now, we want to have an aggressive—
You mean that like you said it.
Yes, and I recognize it could cost me something. You and I were privately discussing something last November, and we said we might be cellmates. The fact is, this could cost, and it could cost profoundly. But how can we possibly give up our convictions? I'm looking at it offensively and defensively, And the strategies are still being processed and thought through. But for example, in our particular state, if a couple comes and wants to get married, they can actually have anybody pay $90 for the day and perform their ceremony. So one of the explorations defensively, and I don't like talking defense, I want to talk offense, but one of the steps defensively might end up being that our church take the position, and we've discussed this at length, that we will not under any condition, any pastor at our church will perform a state-recognized, state-sanctioned marriage. The state has abrogated its role by its destruction of the definition of marriage. They've lost all credibility with me in that arena. Our marriage certificates in our state don't even say bride and groom anymore, or male and female. And so consequently, we would perform at our church only a marriage covenant, biblically honoring covenant ceremony. If they want to have Uncle Joe, who's paid the $90, and perform the ceremony in 2 minutes in a back in a green room, they could possibly do that if they want to be sanctioned by the state. Now, that's on the defensive side of it. And we're still trying to press offensively before we yield that ground. But that's something I'm looking at. And I was with a group last night in our church, and I actually referenced the reality that if the day comes when by loss of tax exemptions, tax deductions, other kinds of fines and penalties brought upon us, we lose the building. We just completed a beautiful new building. Mm-hmm. If we lose that building, we lose that building. So what? We're the church as people. We're not going to rely on a building, and we will flourish, and we will continue. It'll be under very difficult circumstances. My doctorate's in church history, so I know the cost of persecution, and I don't for a moment make that sound glamorous. But the point is, we will continue to press forward.
I've got to stop you all. Unbelievably, this first program's over, and so we're going to have to end for today, but we will pick up this subject tomorrow, as I indicated at the top of the program, that I just don't know much that we have ever dealt with that I feel more strongly about this, primarily because of what it means for children. You know, if it means anything, it means that children from families that are of the same sex will be deprived of either a mother or a father. They obviously can't have both by definition. And children need both a masculine and feminine role model. They need what a father does for a child and of both sexes and what a mother does. So there are a lot of concerns here that we could take another month or two to describe. But we're out of time. We'll pick it up right here next time. Thank you all for being with us.
Our honor to be with you.
Great to be with you.
Oh, it's great. Thank you, Doctor.
Well, I hope that this program has been as informative for you as it has for me. Considering the fact that we are days away from oral arguments at the Supreme Court regarding gay marriage, we need to be informed and know how to respond. We've been listening to an interview with my dad, Dr. James Dobson, as he talked with Brian Brown, Maggie Gallagher, and Dr. Jim Garlow about the upcoming Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage. I'm Ryan Dobson, and most experts are predicting that the Supreme Court will strike down all laws prohibiting gay marriage in the United States. This will be a monumental decision and one that we are already beginning to prepare for. As a result, I want to bring to your attention a very important event happening in just a few days. The March for Marriage in Washington, D.C. will be happening this Saturday. Go to drjamesdobson.org and we'll have a link posted so you can find more information about the march. You can help us preserve and promote the institution of the family and stand for righteousness in the culture by supporting the work of Family Talk today. Right now is the best time to give because generous friends of Family Talk have stepped forward with a $200,000 conditional match that will double your donation today. Call 877-732-6825 or click the donate tab at drjamesdobson.org. And as a thank you for your donation, we want to send you two powerful resources. The first is my dad's latest book, Your Legacy, and with it the corresponding DVD from the brand new Building a Family Legacy film series. Again, donate at 877-732-6825 or on our website, drjamesdobson.org. Coming up next time, part two of this vital interview on gay marriage with Brian Brown, Maggie Gallagher, and Dr. Jim Garlow. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Do you want to know what the best decisions that my mom and dad ever made on my behalf was? It was their decision to basically force me, that's right, at 17 years of age, to go to Summit Ministries for a two-week camp. The truths about God and the world that I learned at Summit went on to shape the rest of my life and has led me to where I am today. Well, I have some exciting news about how you can save a bunch of money on sending your son or daughter to Summit. Summit has agreed to offer a $200 discount to Family Talk listeners if they use the promo code FAMILY15. Again, $200 off by using the code FAMILY15. Don't wait, because this offer ends soon. Go to summit.org today. Again, summit.org to sign up your teenager today.